The renewable energy sector is in turmoil after the Clean Energy Council put forward a compromise position to the government to lower our renewable energy target by almost 30%. Some say reducing the target will destroy the industry, which the scheme is there to drive in the first place. And organisations like GetUp are saying the move is just bowing to pressure from the big energy retailers, Origin, AGL and Energy Australia. So what does the Clean Energy Council say about why they've proposed such a large reduction in the RET?
The Clean Energy Council has put forward this proposal to try and resolve the uncertainty that's been in the industry for the last year and to try and ensure that we can actually build some projects in the next few years and protect the existing jobs and existing investment and hopefully have an industry that can grow in the future.
That's Russell Marsh, Policy Director at the Clean Energy Council. The peak body says breaking the deadlock will protect the 21,000 jobs in the sector and unlock $10 billion of new investment, creating more than 6,000 new jobs around the country from large-scale renewable projects. It sounds like a compelling argument, right? In a moment, we'll hear from Professor John Hewson, former Liberal Party leader, and we'll talk to Giles Parkinson, the editor of online magazine Renew Economy. But first, this is a bit of a complicated tale, so bear with me while I explain a few things. Firstly, what is the RET?
The Renewable Energy Target, known as the RET, is a scheme designed to ensure that 20% of Australia's electricity comes from renewable sources by 2020. The RET scheme is helping to transform our electricity generation mix to cleaner and more diverse sources and supporting growth and employment in the renewable energy sector.
Well, that's what the government's Environment Department website says, but a closer look at the legislation tells a different tale. The RET, as it exists today, was introduced in law in January 2010. While the government's website says the target is 20% renewable by 2020, that's really a rough estimation. The actual legislation sets annual targets that the energy sector has to meet in terms of sourcing their energy supply from renewables like wind and solar. The targets are set in gigawatt hours, GWH, that rise each year until we get to a whopping 41,000 gigawatt hours in 2020. Whether that figure is 20% of our energy or not really depends on how much energy we're consuming. If we consume less energy overall, it makes up a higher percentage. If we use more energy, it will be less than 20%. So the target provides some certainty for renewable industries and their investors because they're assured, as it's in the law, that the energy companies have to buy a certain amount of electricity from them, and if they don't, they face a penalty. Before the election, the Abbott government promised to keep the renewable energy target at 41,000 gigawatt hours. Then...
the government is today announcing that we will be holding a review into the renewable energy target. This was always due to occur this year under legislation. It was said before the election that we would do it, so there are no surprises. The terms of reference really focus on three things. Firstly, we want to make sure that we review the progress of the renewable energy target against the 41,000 gigawatt hour objective. Secondly, we want to make sure that we review the progress of the renewable energy target in terms of investment certainty. And thirdly, we want to address efficiency in relation to electricity prices. The review panel will be headed by Mr. Dick Warburton.
Environment Minister Greg Hunt announced that Dick Warburton, a known climate change denier, would head a review into the RET. The review recommended the RET be reduced, and the federal government has been in deadlock with the renewable industry sector ever since. The Clean Energy Council says the delay in determining a new target, which has lasted more than a year, has had a hugely damaging effect on the industry. Here's Russell Marsh again.
We've seen investment in renewable energy, large-scale renewable energy, fall by nearly 90% in the last 12 months compared to the 12 months previously, and that's just an indication of what it has done to the industry. Now, we've also started to see companies lay off staff because at the moment, if they're not able to get investment in projects, then they're not able to take those projects forward, then they're struggling to keep their staff.
But Industry Minister Ian McFarlane is playing hardball.
32,000 is a very generous offer, and it has seen the coalition move its position three times, and I think we are now at a point where any further changes in terms of going up moves us away from any policy credibility at all.
32,000 gigawatt hours. That's the offer from the Abbott government that's on the table. Take it or leave it, they say. Labor's position? About 35,000 is as low as they'll go. The Clean Energy Council Chief Executive Kane Thornton has written to the government proposing 33,500 gigawatt hours. It's a 30% reduction in the renewable energy target. And while they say it's to break the impasse and get investment flowing again, it's got commentators scratching their heads. Here's economist and former Liberal Party leader, John Hewson.
McFarlane, the minister, couldn't believe his luck because he's back in the game, and of course now he's taking an even harder line trying to drive their number down. You know, the first law of negotiation, I think, in negotiations 101, if you're in a strong position, stick on it. The government had nowhere to go. They promised good government. They promised they won't have any more fights with the Senate. You need legislative change to change the rhetoric. The Clean Energy Council doesn't have a vote. It's really going to end up to what happens between the government and the opposition. And as long as the opposition stands firm and opposes any change, the government has got nowhere to go.
On that point, the Labor Party have said that they have a bottom line position of 35,000 gigawatt hours, so it seems that they're prepared to reduce that target as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's a pity because, I mean, if you believe in renewable energy, you should not only be sticking to the 2020 target, but you ought to be looking at a possible 2030 target and to increase it. I mean, if you're going to drive that process, you've got to drive it properly. What we've had is a consistent practice by whoever's in government and playing politics with this issue, and you're either committed to it. It's a medium to long-term political strategy, economic strategy, isn't it? I mean, you don't build a renewable energy industry overnight. It does take years. It takes billions of dollars in investment. It does rely on a level of certainty. The industry was given that certainty before the last election. Then the government succumbed to pressure from some of the bigger players in the energy sector and decided to have the Warburton Review, pointing a climate denier, Dick Warburton, to chair it in the expectation they could probably, you know, reduce the significance of the renewable energy industry and process. And I just think that's paying off to vested interest.
You've suggested that the large energy retailers had a role here. On Origin Energy's website, it says that they support the RET target being at 20% and they don't support terminating the RET. So is this in opposition to their behaviour around it?
Yeah, I look at that. I think there's a fair level of hypocrisy here that they say they would support renewable energy and then their interpretation, that is a 20% RET. And the commitment wasn't 20%. The commitment was 41,000 gigawatt hours. Let's hear Origin say they support 41,000 gigawatt hours.
I guess free market supporters would suggest that perhaps this industry, the renewable industry, needs to stand on its own two feet, and why should the government contribute to supporting it in any way? What would you say to that?
Well, the government doesn't contribute anything. It costs the budget nothing. That's the irony of all this. It costs the budget nothing. The government is okay. It's forcing by mandation and structures a change in behaviour, But
the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, set up by the government, has been there to assist some of those organisations, renewable energy industries, to get off the ground, hasn't it?
Well, it does. It provides a debt support, yes, underwriting support. And the government tried to close that down too, but it got rolled in the Senate. The government was backing off all substantive responses to climate change. Tried to close the Clean Energy Authority, tried to get rid of the RET arena, any element of it. They've worked against. If you look at what the government did, they came into office and they gave some really key jobs, advisory jobs and positions to climate deniers. Boris Newman as head of the Business Advisory Council, Dick Warburton, the RET Review, Shepherd, who did the Audit Commission, David Murray, they're climate deniers. But they're in a minority. 97% of climate assessed, peer assessed climate scientists say that we have a problem. I mean, I think I'd listen to science. I don't think I'd be paying attention to a handful of doubting Thomases.
You've come out and aligned yourself with GetUp in this campaign to shift consumers away from the three big energy giants, Origin, AGL and Energy Australia. Is that a kind of anti-competitive stance to take on your part?
No, I think consumers are justifiably confused about power bills. They are being ripped off at the retail level in terms of the excessive margins that those three are extracting. And in those circumstances, I mean, when you can't get any other broad response, the consumer can be a very powerful influence. So just encouraging consumers to vote with their feet, really, to work out what they think is in their best interests. And GetUp is one mechanism. It's not the only mechanism by which that can be done. Now, he'll play hardball now because he's been given a more powerful position and comes over now to the opposition as to what it's going to do. Mm. Is he going to stay firm in support of the RET and have the courage to do so? And, you know, I think the crossbenchers in the Senate will oppose an amendment to the RET
So the opposition's got a clear decision to make.
Professor John Hewson, he's chair of the Tax and Transfer Policy Unit at ANU's Crawford School of Public Policy. So Origin says it supports the RET, but seems to be saying that it supports the notion of a 20% target, not the real target of 41,000 gigawatt hours, which is really likely to be about 27%. Meanwhile, the managing director of one of the other big three retailers, AGL, has called for the renewable energy target to be scrapped altogether. Michael Fraser says the renewable energy target is broken and has suggested that major utilities will not come to the table to sign contracts on renewable energy projects even if an agreement on the RET is found. Giles Parkinson is the editor of online news site Renew Economy. He says the big energy retailers are playing a risky game not supporting the full RET target because the penalties they will incur will just be passed on to consumers, and consumers are already feeling the strain of electricity prices.
The idea of the renewable energy target is that it sets a market price for certificates, and these certificates are used to help finance the building of new wind farms. Now, to get new wind farms or solar farms, you know, within a couple of years, you may need a price of about $40, $50 or whatever. That's depending on the wholesale price of energy as well. So it's essentially a currency. The penalty price was introduced to impose a penalty on the retailers if they didn't meet that target. Now, some are arguing, saying, oh, well, we can't possibly meet that target now, so a penalty price would have to be imposed because we simply can't build enough wind farms to meet this target. The renewable energy industry says that's rubbish because there is time to do it if only they get off their backsides and actually do it and stop arguing against the policy. And in any case, if you were to impose a penalty price, which is, you know, including the tax effectiveness of it, is $92 a megawatt hour, he said that's enough money to build all sorts of different wind farms and solar farms. So it's a ridiculous situation. It's really it's almost like a piece of blackmail, really, by the industry, sort of threatening to go on a capital strike rather than meet their legislative requirements. It's an extraordinary situation.
So they're prepared to cop that penalty because they can pass it on to the consumer in terms of their prices?
Well, that's what they think they can do, but the retailers are facing another battle now, particularly with a number of households which are adopting rooftop solar and who are quite aggrieved about the money they're getting paid for the electricity that they export back into the grid. So the retailers have got a whole new battleground about how to keep their consumers and how to keep their consumers happy, because the consumers now have technologies on rooftop solar and very soon battery storage to look after a large amount of their own electricity needs. So they'll be playing with fire, I think, if they're going to put consumers offside by charging a penalty price rather than actually building things.
Giles Parkinson, editor of online news site Renew Economy.